Sue's still sick.
No, you're not. You're so bad. All right.
I think that was a threat.
She's decided she's going to get sick. We're studying the metaphorical meaning of the eyes.
I don't remember where we stopped, but let's go to John 12, and we'll see if we stop there.
John 12, 35 through 40.
Oh, never mind. Then we got it. Okay, 1 John, chapter 2. Starting verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father, and that's the one that's teenagers. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So it's the lust of the eyes, as opposed to the mystery seen with the eye. So it's axiomatic that if eyes, plural, is talking about seeing instead of seeing through. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. I mean 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
It's easy to fix.
Do what?
That's easy to fix.
That's easy to fix.
1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, yeah.
Well, I'm glad. Just put one more little mark down there.
That's right.
Let's start in verse 7. We haven't looked at this for a while. Now let's go back. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The light can't shine on the eyes. It can only shine on the eye. For a gospel we hid, it is hid to them that are lost, who don't see with the eye, but see with the eyes. Anybody understand that?
What was that last part? You don't see with the...
They don't see with the eye, singular. They see with their eyes, plural. So every place they look in the scripture, it's still eyes. So it's still about the world. And so they have causes and plans and things to do. Remember, if your eye is evil, that means you see toil. You see something necessary to do. Then your whole body is full of darkness. And even the light that's in there, that you think you have, is darkness. And how great is that darkness?
I just had a thought a moment ago. With your eyes, the information goes into your brain or into your mind and processes through all of that.
Amen.
Yeah, but here they have blinded the minds. So it's like they equated minds and eyes. It's equal right here.
But if you see minds and eyes. If you see with the singleness, it bypasses that whole arena and goes to your heart.
Go goes, yeah, goes to that perennial body.
Yeah, and that's a different place. It is not even similar.
For we preach not ourselves. Now, this is ourselves, plural, not, the gospel has nothing to do with ourselves. The best we can be is a servant for your sake. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What an incredible sentence. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, hearts is just cardia. And it doesn't necessarily mean your physical heart. It means the inner man. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the promise, of the power, may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now that's a quote from Psalm 118. The idea is, if you believe this, you cannot help but speak. You will probably try not to speak, but you must. It's as natural as breathing. And you'll speak about only one thing. Your speech, not just your physical speech, but your mental speech, will be seasoned with salt. And the reason that is true is that the mind, the thoughts of the mind, cannot comprehend or even talk about eternity, except eternity being some long, long time, which isn't eternity at all. It's no time at all. So that's the fail-safe from God's perspective. The gospel is hid. Anyway. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Will ye also believe, and therefore speak? Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. So that's the one sentence that describes best this mystery of seeing through everything, so that there is nothing in time and space that is a cause. Everybody understand? There's nothing that you have an investment in time and space. There's no investment in the outcome of anything that your hand touches. It's not your business. In that way, we confirm the scripture in Revelation. Here is the patience of the saints. Here is the commandment of God and the faith of the Lord Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the grave from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Do you see how that's connected to I? If your works are leading you, then you're not seeing through, you're seeing at. Can't tell you how important that is, because the natural mind is always wanting to have an investment in the outcome of the works that are leading them, and it goes down to the smallest thing that you do. Your works cannot lead you, or else you're seeing with the eyes, and it's the important. You are loving the world because you're giving breath. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Love is agapeo, agapeo, giving importance, giving breath to. So by definition, if you have an agenda, then you're seeing double. I isn't single. Is that clear?
Let's see what you mean.
All right, now let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. This is talking about, again, people that see with their eyes instead of with their eye. Verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Now, what does riot mean? No. Well, we're going to talk about riot again in a minute, but I want to get to us about the eyes. They shall receive the reward of righteousness, of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. And you understand what that means. The eyes are full of concern about where they're going to get their bread and their wine or their food. That's the biggie. That's what adultery is. Everybody understand that? If you go anywhere else other than God, once you have presented yourself as the living sacrifice, then you are committing fornication and, by definition, adultery, because you are married to another. When you go and lean on your own arm of understanding to get the necessary things for your survival. Now this is as hard as it gets.
because we want to read this, oh, having eyes, these are some pagans down there. This is like I used to be, you know, eyes full of, never mind. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Beguiling unstable souls because of it's the prosperity gospel. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Covetous practices, cursed children. My God in heaven, why aren't people reading this with understanding? Eyes full of adultery, eyes full of lust, because they don't see with their eye. They see with their eyes. Even the light that is in them is darkness, and how great is that darkness? Now let's go to Riot. Go to Philippians. Chapter. Start in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, or their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. That's what rioting means, to give breath to earthly things. Anybody been rioting lately? What?
He has.
No, you. What you doing?
Well, I'm just thinking about it. I didn't say nothing.
You're not saying anything?
No, I'm thinking about rioting. Giving breath to earthly things.
Where are we? Philippians.
Well, 3:19 was the operative. But we started in 3:17 through 19. Doesn't get any bigger than this.
I was thinking about the eye thing, and it's like when you're seeing with these eyes, and you take in the information and eat it, you activate the entire system of the Antichrist, and because you're feeding him, giving him power.
Giving him breath.
Giving him breath, that's where that would fall in. But if you see with this eye, you bypass that whole system and it remains dormant, dead.
And empty.
Empty, and
that's repentance. That's faith, that's meekness, that's humility, that's all of the things. All right, let's go to Romans, chapter 11. Now you got to remember, Romans was written before the destruction of the temple. The temple, even though it was a sham, because it had not the Ark of the Covenant, or the mercy seat, or the cherubim, or the tables of stone, or the Aaron's rod budding, or the pot of manna, the inner court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies was empty. But still, because of the sacrificial system, they had the capacity to see the same thing that Abel saw, or the same thing that everybody saw all the way through. They had the capacity to see him. Okay? Nice. This is a quote from Elijah in verse 3. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. That's why if your eye is evil, the word evil means to see toil. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their backs always. God has closed the eyes. Why? Because they did not see his son. Let's go 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We looked at this the other day, but it's important to, so we'll look at it again. I was just talking about well, let's read it instead of me telling you what it is. He's talking about themselves. He's in verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, or of the completed Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of condemnation be glory. If the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of the righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed or transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now that veil isn't just upon Israel, it's upon the human race, because Israel was the type of the human race.
Let's go to Galatians 3. This is just a simple sentence. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Before whose eyes? In other words, they saw with the eye, and then they returned to the eyes. And the same is true with us. If we see him with the eyes and then return to the eyes, God help us. What? This one's really getting you.
Well, I'm just thinking of walking in that buzz.
That's the only place to walk. One more, Ephesians 1. General Electric Power Company. Well, let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Remember, adoption is that huiothesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made, prudence is just understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The eyes of your understanding, eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And that's what the be transfigured by the renewing of your mind
so that your mind, your eyes see the same thing that your eye does. That's the renewing of your mind. That's the purpose of time and space. That and that alone, because the rest is God's business. But you must be willing to risk it all in the day of his power. So everybody understand eye and eyes.
So these are like transfigured eyes. And it's not that they change.
No, renewed eyes.
Renewed eyes.
Transfigured is the... Remember, we've talked many times, transfigured is your only vocation, your only avocation, your only purpose. So everybody understand a little bit about eye and eyes. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of life. But if your eye is evil or sees work to be done or sees time, then the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? What? Somebody. Is it you?
Okay.
What?
Oh, you said many times it's the, in your eyes you either see through or see at.
Time you see, yeah, the way you opt about it, you can't do anything about it except saying, Father, forgive me.
And that spiritual eye is the center of our universe.
Amen.
It's amazing how that spiritual eye is out of focus or turned off all of our senses. So adulterated and so manipulative and judgmental and hateful.
Amen.
And occasionally decent. But it's the, like you said, the eternal eye is the eternal lens.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Everybody understand?
Not done. Just
kidding. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was a period. Maybe it was a comma. Miss Josanna? Amen?